You and I spent just under $21 billion last year eating out. That's the estimated sales figure for Ohio's more than 22,000 eating and drinking establishments. We enjoyed meals at little diners at Country Crossroads and at Wendy's, Bob Evans, and other major chains. And we supported more than a half million people in Ohio who work in the industry. Today, John Barker of the Ohio Restaurant Association joins Ohio Farm Bureau's Adam Sharp to talk about all things restaurants this week on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
The farm and food system is big business in Ohio, and it's a big part of our culture as well. Today, we're going to hear from the executives who represent a lot of the production and retailing of food in Ohio. John Barker is president and CEO of the Ohio Restaurant Association. Adam Sharp is executive vice president of Ohio Farm Bureau. Mr. Barker holds an MBA from Ohio State University. Before joining the Ohio Restaurant Association in 2015, he spent 18 years at Wendy's. And I learned just before we turned on the mics, John's an old radio guy from his college days. So, John, welcome back into the studio and to Town Hall, Ohio.
Thanks, Joe. Great to be here and appreciate the time with all of you.
And just a little side note, Adam spent time working in radio, too.
That's right.
It's like
a little college radio work, exactly. So, always fun.
Well,
thanks, Joe.
Thank you both for being here. John, just to kind of get us set up, tell us about the Ohio Restaurant Association. What's the organization do, and who are your members?
Yeah, it's great. First of all, this organization has been around almost 100 years. I was not there at the founding, although some of my staff thinks I've been around that long. But no, it's a great organization, just like the Farm Bureau. It really represents the broad spectrum of our membership, and we do all the things that a trade association would do to represent and protect the interest of the restaurant industry.
For folks that may not be members of an association, just give us a sampling there of the kind of things that a trade group like you or even Farm Bureau does for its members.
Yeah, it really depends on the member in terms of what they want, but it's a range of providing products and services, whether it's insurance that they need for health insurance, workers' compensation for their staff, to protect their staff, training. In our particular area, we do a lot of training on food handling and safety, those types of things, all the way to lobbying at the State House and on the federal level to kind of protect the industry.
Adam, that model seems to be pretty common. Restaurant Association, manufacturers, NFIB, Ohio Farm Bureau, the association world operates pretty similarly.
Yeah, it does, and it's important, especially in Ohio, where we do have a very dynamic economy, balancing between our large urban centers and our very rural parts of our state. And you look at some of those business sectors that are so important across the state, whether it's a restaurant association and agriculture. One of the things that's important to all of us is building those bridges across those trade associations, because so many of us have so many things in common that we want to make sure that we have the best business environment we can have in Ohio. And serve our customers the best way that we can and our members. So that's something that that we value in Ohio, and you see a lot of that type of cross activity between our different trade associations.
John, I threw out a few statistics at the top of the show, but give us a little bit more detail about how expansive restaurants, drinking establishments, their footprint in Ohio.
Yeah, it's probably not a mystery, because if you drive around your local neighborhood or your town or your county, one of the things that people seem to talk about all the time anymore, it's the kind of conversation you have at your home with your friends at work: what's the new restaurant, which is my favorite restaurant. It has become the thing. And across the United States, there's just over 1 million restaurants now. And so there's just about one for each one of us anymore. You mentioned in Ohio, there's about 22,000. And what's interesting is the amount of restaurants continues to grow. It grows because I think what's going on in the marketplace today and consumers, particularly younger members of our society, are very comfortable eating out much more than people of older generations. And so they're driving demand for these restaurants or something that kind of seems like a restaurant. It might be a food truck. It might be your local grocery store that has really good food to go. And all that is part of our makeup of what we call restaurants today.
Glanced at it, sort of a forecast of your members. They seem pretty optimistic about how the industry is going to do here in 2018.
We were very pleasantly surprised to see that. We do an awful lot of data gathering from our members, and we publish that information. But 2017 was up and down for restaurants, particularly depending on sort of the segment that you operate in, and we can talk more about that. But, you know, across the board, 17 was an okay year. 2018, though, as we asked them to kind of project forward, they projected over 4% growth in probably the most important number that they look at, and that's their same restaurant sales year over year. They look at their kind of annual sales in 17 and say, how much do we believe and project? And they use that number, of course, to do their budgeting and to do their hiring. And so they put a lot into that. And so they projected over 4%. Very healthy number if that actually comes true.
Know anybody in Ohio that'd like to see a 4% increase in income in the coming? The restaurant owners might be optimistic. Out on the farm, it's a different story.
Yeah, the farm economy is struggling right now. So actually, I hope that continues because maybe that'll help our, you know, help bring up our food prices a little bit on the, or the commodity prices a little bit out on the farm. Yeah, it's a big deal. And, you know, it's interesting when you mentioned the trends, John, in the world of food and the restaurants, restaurant businesses. And we see more and more of our members, so our farmers, those who are producing food, you know, dabbling across the board in this area. And, of course, they have for a long time in areas like, you know, wineries and other things. But more and more, we have so many of our farmers that are, you know, either having direct sales of food or opening food establishments or bakeries or local food, you know, places where they're directly marketing to restaurants, their friends, their neighbors who own restaurants, to serve their local food. And it's absolutely, it's been a trend for a while now. It seems to continue to grow, and it seems to continue to be an important part of the, what we call our value added side of agriculture. So products that are being produced on the farm and either directly sold right to the consumer or via a local restaurant or somebody who also values having that local farmer connected to the person who's ultimately consuming
that's
the food.
What we call the ultimate farm to table.
There you go.
It's sort of immediate, right out of the back door. And
absolutely.
Yeah, we had a an awards annual award ceremony in January, which we do to recognize people who are doing a great job in our industry, and one that ties perfectly into what you say. You might know Young's Jersey Dairy.
Absolutely.
Just down the road here, Yellow Springs. They, of course, opened a restaurant and many other things. If you've been to that facility, it's fantastic, a great family location. And Dan Young, who is now sort of in charge of the family business, won our Lifetime Achievement Award for what he has done. And they really started off as farmers, and now they've kind of morphed more into a, I'm not really sure what you can call it, it's almost family entertainment in a couple of restaurants. And they have some pretty good ice cream, too. You know,
right.
So
yeah. That's right. And more around the state, it's nice to see those types of that farm-to-the-table establishments or connections happening and growing and being promoted. And, of course, those guys over at Young's have been terrific promoters and have done just a great job with their establishment. And you see a lot of others budding in that area, and it's nice to see. Or those that have had existing businesses in that area that have been doing production, kind of that production value added, now expanding into that food service and partnering with other restaurants and food service type activities, which is interesting.
Adam Sharp is Executive Vice President of Ohio Farm Bureau. John Barker has the same role with the Ohio Restaurant Association. You and Adam, John, have been talking about this direct to consumer, direct out the back gate of the farm to the back door of the restaurant as one of the trends. But what are some other big trends that are happening in the restaurant industry that we should be paying attention to, or if nothing else, we'll find interesting?
Yeah, well, there's many of them, and we track them pretty carefully between ourselves and the National Restaurant Association, who we're part of. And it ranges from a proliferation of just an interest in foods and better-for-you foods and thinking carefully, even more carefully about what you're eating, and And that means everything from, you know, where are your ingredients specifically coming from? What's the source? That data was probably always available, just wasn't made available to consumers as much as it is today. And you see oftentimes you'll go on a menu at a nice sit-down restaurant and it'll say the beef in this restaurant is, you know, comes from this farm in this county in Ohio. And it makes people feel kind of warm and fuzzy about that, right? I trust it a little bit more. I think that's terrific. I think the proliferation of ingredients and flavors and interest in ethnicity in terms of the origin of these flavors, we see a ton of that as well. And then this, depending on your point of view, the rapid use of technology in restaurants, and it's the technology in the back of the house, things that a consumer would never see, all the way out to when you walk into a restaurant. In some restaurants today, and the only way you can order your food is by touching what some people would refer to as a computer, but it's essentially a kiosk. And so all those trends are sort of coming at us, and everyone in our business is trying to figure out the best use of all those things based on their concept.
Well, we're going to dig that into a few of those in more detail, but Adam, on the farm front, it's important that people who are growing the foods are in tune with those trends that John just mentioned, so we can adapt production to meet what the demand they're trying to fill.
That's right. And, you know, on the farm side, affordability, safety, quality, right? Those are three big themes we constantly hear from not just the regulatory community, right, that we have to deal with and make sure that the food we're producing is affordable, safe, and good quality. But we know that's what the restaurants want, right? We know that's what the consumer wants coming from the farm into those outlets. So important parts, and we can probably talk more about those in a minute.
I want to ask about one trend that I've seen, and you just touched on it just briefly, John. The food trucks. Here at our Farm Bureau office, I can go downstairs, and there's a little kind of like a cafe type of thing, very limited menu. I can walk out on the street, and depending upon the day, I've got four or five different choices. You know, I can get some good old country fried chicken fingers, or I can get the most ethnically unique product. So do you consider food trucks part of the restaurant industry?
We absolutely do. 10 years ago, I know way before I arrived at the at this particular association, food trucks were really starting to get a gain hold and become more popular, particularly in urban areas. And they knocked on the door, apparently, of the Ohio Restaurant Association and said, hey, we'd like to do some work with you and partner with you and take advantage of some of the things you might be able to help us with. And our association at the time wasn't all that interested. They said, well, no, you're a threat to us. We're not all that interested. Well, we've learned. We've become much smarter over time as we get a little bit older and realize they are part of the industry and an extremely important part and do a great job.
We're going to talk more about maybe food trucks, but some of the big picture issues that are going on the production and retailing side of things. Specifically, I want to get in a little bit deeper with John and Adam on consumer expectations, the traditional ones that Adam mentioned, some of the new ones that John mentioned. Let's find out what's going on in terms of what the consumer wants from when they go out to eat and how the restaurants and farmers will provide it. We'll be back with more of Town Hall Ohio in just a moment.
Well, I'd just like to eat at somebody else's restaurant. Sometimes the very thing that's yours can't give you what you want. Well, I'd crave my menu almost anywhere, but when the place is yours, you can't go there. I just like to eat at somebody else's restaurant.
We're chatting with the exec for the Ohio Restaurant Association, John Barker, on Town Hall, Ohio, and Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of the Ohio Farm Bureau. I mentioned before the break, the consumer, you as a your industry, the consumer tells you what they want, and it's your job to figure out how to provide that. Likewise, farmers have to figure out how to provide restaurateurs with what they want. But as you look at today's consumer, maybe position how things, some of the traditional expectations versus newer expectations. John?
Yeah, I think when you look at things like the actual food, that that hasn't really changed in terms of what people desire. They desire as high quality of food, and therefore the ingredients that go into them, as they can possibly get. I think it changes a little bit depending on the economic kind of strata that a person comes from. We do notice that people who are at the lower end of the economic strata are using food more often as fuel, just to sort of kind of get through the day. And interestingly, a few years ago, when the move to put calories on menu boards was sort of the rage, and the regulators were doing it because they thought it'd get people to eat fewer calories. As we did the analysis, what we found is many people will go in and pick the lowest price and the highest calories because they were actually trying to build the calories for the day. It's just kind of an interesting, you know, thing to look at. On the other end, as people, you know, move up a little bit further in their economic kind of situation in life, and particularly as they get a little bit older, people are very focused then on taste and enjoying the food and having great service and hospitality and relaxing and sometimes being able to pair foods with the right sorts of drinks and things like that. I mean, they
it's
really
an experience as much as a meal.
Exactly. And it's a way to just kind of get away from whatever you were doing the rest of the day.
It's interesting too on the food, you know, on the consumer expectation side, I guess, in the farming world, I think it's changed dramatically, which has been interesting. If you go back 20, 30 years, it was hard to kind of start a conversation around food production. We would talk about it a lot, but having the conversation with the consumer on that backside, on the production side, was a difficult conversation to start. Still can be, but it's interesting those expectations of what's out there now versus, you know, the kind of the reality and the interest that's there and the science that's there. And we hear a lot about issues like genetically modified organisms or GMOs. We hear a lot of things about pesticides or hormones and you know, what's in the food and how's the food produced. And that's a topic that just constantly continues. Farmers are always talking to us as their organization about talking to the consumer about food literacy. You know, how does their food get produced? Where does it come from? What's the real science behind that? What's the technology that's used to produce it? And it is it's kind of a grand discussion because farmers at the same time, many of them adapting and learning and changing the way they're producing food to meet these demands of consumers. And at the same time, the volume of food in the marketplaces that are there of using the available technologies, the safe technologies, the proven technologies to also produce the volume of demand that's there is sometimes an interesting conversation to have with consumers.
I think, Adam, organic food, right?
Good example.
Is a great example. Yep. People, if left to their own devices based on what they know, will say, yes, of course, I want all my food to be organic. Well, we wouldn't be able to feed the world at this point with the technology we have if it was all organic. That said, it's gone from a little bit of a trend and a murmur in the marketplace to now every supermarket you go into has an organic section. It used to be owned by the Whole Foods and Trader Joe's of the world, and now you go into the larger supermarkets and everybody has a whole selection of organic foods.
I have both of you comment on this. We may not get it all in before the break, so I'll apologize for that. Besides the consumer expectations on the food itself, whether it's price, wholesomeness, you mentioned organic. It seems to me that consumers are thinking about food and its implications in a much broader arena. Social justice, the environment, how animals are cared for. Do you see those non-food specific concerns impacting the way food purveyors have to operate?
Absolutely, and particularly among the millennial generation. And of course, I think it'll be even at a higher level among Gen Zs, which are coming right behind them. And part of the reason is, you know, they just have so much more access to information. It's so easy to be able to get information about all this and then form an opinion and then use your dollars to vote. And they have a lot of money, obviously, as they start to get into their earning years in their 20s, although a lot of millennials push that back into their 30s, but just kidding. You know, they vote.
No, you're not.
they do vote, and you know, they have a strong opinion, And we have to be aware of that and start to think about those implications as we design products.
Yeah, it's interesting where we talk about really in our ag production food space, we talk about ag unity these days more than ever. And that is, you can produce for a lot of these different niche markets and these demands. And some of these markets have become very large, right? And some of these expectations have become very large. And we talk about you can produce in a lot of these ways for these markets. Just don't do it by tearing the other guy down who's also producing in a safe, affordable manner, because there's that market too. So it's an interesting dynamic that we have, and I appreciate you commenting on it.
We're chatting with two executives that are highly involved in, I guess, both ends of the food chain, production and retailing. John Barker's with the Ohio Restaurant Association, Adam Sharp with the Ohio Farm Bureau. We'll be back to hear more from Adam and John when we continue.
Well, a few months later, some friends insisted we try out the Chateau Le Roux. After waiting an hour and a half, we finally sat down. Heck, I couldn't even read the menu. So I asked the waiter, "How's the beef?" He said,
"The steak tartare is the best you ever had."
But when he brought it, friends, I thought I'd seen rare meat, but this wasn't even hurt real bad. Yeah, you can have those high-priced gourmet restaurants.
Well, gourmet, fast service, whatever, food trucks, whatever type of restaurant, they're represented by the Ohio Restaurant Association. And their exec, John Barker's in the studio chatting with Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of Ohio Farm Bureau. John, both you and Adam have talked about how what's going on in the consumer marketplace impacts restaurants and farmers. But to make sure we're on the same page, there should be some level of communication, I think, on a regular and ongoing and productive basis between retailers and farmers. How are we doing in that arena? Are your people able to communicate to farmers what they're looking for? Are your people hearing back from farmers what's doable? How's the whole system working?
I think it's working very well. At the largest kind of chain level, where I was at Wendy's for 18 years, we regularly had the large producers coming in to meet with us to talk about the data that we had in terms of consumer trends. And they would have some of their own data, but we would marry that up, right? And then that would affect sort of products and services that they would start developing on our behalf, which was great. If you get down into sort of the smaller restaurants and mom and pops, they're talking directly to farmers. There's no co-ops or anything in the middle of it. They're actually out giving that feedback directly to growers and farmers. And I think you see that then with some of the great things we see on menus at some of the restaurants around Ohio.
Yeah, it's interesting what I hear, you know, constantly from our farmers, and especially as we're interacting with as they're interacting with restaurant owners, is that importance to connect that. And I think, as you said, I think that's going very well as far as many farmers connecting with restauranteurs and developing products that they want and serving products that they want. And in many cases, either co-owning or in partnerships to produce food that goes straight into those restaurants. So very exciting area. That said, on the production side, I think it's continually important for farmers to be close to the restauranteurs and those who are on that front line of serving the consumer, if they're not already engaged in activity in that regard, because farmers need to listen. They need to understand, right? What are those trends? What are the expectations of the consumer so that they can produce the product that the consumer wants? And at the same time, have that conversation with them. We think it's very important, to make sure that, and farmers love doing that when they have that opportunity, is to make sure they have that opportunity to talk about the way they produce their food. And 9 times out of 10, what we hear back is when that conversation happens, everybody feels better about it, and everybody enjoys learning a little bit more about how that food was produced, how that animal was raised and cared for, how that vegetable was raised here in Ohio, because gosh, I didn't know we raised those kind of vegetables here in Ohio. I didn't know we produced that type of food here in our state and ended up right here on my menu. So that's a fascinating area. And that conversation is something that I think we can absolutely continue to do more and more of.
We're chatting about the food industry with the execs from the Ohio Farm Bureau and Ohio Restaurant Association. That was Adam Sharp you just heard from, and John Barker's president and CEO of the Ohio Restaurant Association. The you mentioned as one of the big trends, John, technology, and I want to start talking down a little bit down that path. What do you mean technology? Give us some examples of how tech is impacting what restaurants are doing.
Well, Joe, I'm a believer that one of these days the internet's going to catch hold and we're going to actually start using it.
I think it's a fad.
Yeah.
I think
it's It's going to blow over.
It's not going to last. No.
You know, I think that technology is actually good for our industry. I know sometimes all of us kind of fear the impact that, for example, artificial intelligence might have or driverless cars and those types of things. But in the restaurant industry, technology has come a long way. Everything from the back of the house, where we now have wonderful systems that allow even a small restaurant to very, very smartly and efficiently manage their labor and labor guides, scheduling, inventory, all those things connected in a way that helps them, instead of spending time doing all that manually, they can kind of more efficiently do it. Therefore, they can spend more time in the front of the house dealing with customers and perhaps doing other things that are more highly valued. That all the way out to the pieces that touch consumers. And this is coming like a freight train. And you see it first in what I'll call the leaders in the industry, and it's typically the larger chains which have deep pockets and resources, who are doing online ordering and delivery and getting third-party delivery lined up and, you know, apps that people can go on and find out everything about their menu and press an emoji and have a pizza delivered to their house within a half an hour. And so for the consumer, those are all good things. Hard for us as restaurants to get that all figured out, but the consumer loves it, and that's what's driving these trends.
Information technology, Adam, is one of the biggest things that that farmers are looking at how they capture. We've only got 30 seconds here, but the very things that John was talking about back of house, they're important in agriculture too. That data management.
Absolutely. Whether we're talking about robot dairies or drones or self-driving tractors or your tractor emailing you when it feels sick. Those are the kind of things we're dealing with on the farm, and you see that same type of information load that hopefully helps on the front side so that you can focus continually more on the quality, the affordability, the safety of that product that's being produced.
We'll be back to talk more about food in Ohio when we continue.
Give me the blue plates.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. We're chatting about the restaurant and food industry, farming as a part of it, today on Town Hall, Ohio. Telling the story, John Barker of the Ohio Restaurant Association and Adam Sharp of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. John, there are lots of things. Back in the day, I grew up in Kenton, so your restaurant choices were pretty small. But as I got into bigger towns, my source of finding new restaurants was friends and neighbors and coworkers. Now, the exposure that restaurants get through social media, food television, and so on, how's that influencing either what the restaurants are doing or the volume at which they're doing it?
I tell you, it's a nice additional way to build their awareness and their brand, and they don't have to do anything about it. People show up at a restaurant. We all have people in our family who sort of take that role, right? Where they say, before you eat it, let me take a photo of that. And next thing you know, it's on Instagram and your friends are saying, how can you afford to go to that restaurant? But social media has been terrific for the restaurant industry, as well as all the services out there, Joe and Adam, that allow people to rate restaurants, right? So you have this whole sort of, I call it consumers in control of, I had a great experience, I didn't have a great experience, the food's great here, this is a new place I've found. People are fascinated. This year, our keynote speaker, we do a big expo in January for restaurant tours in the state of Ohio. And our keynote speaker was Michael Simon, who is the celebrity chef. And if you've watched the cooking networks and all these shows, people, we had no idea what to expect in terms of what would happen when we put him on the floor. There was just a throng of people wanting to get close to this guy and hear what he had to say. And he went through a demonstration. So the whole food industry has just exploded in a very good way, and social media has helped.
So, Adam, have you ever seen something on Facebook or Twitter or the Food Network and said, let's go try that?
Constantly. Yeah. Constantly, right? I mean, I guess our generations, it's, You know, when we take, for example, we took all of our County Farm Bureau presidents to Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago. And as they're there, that those evenings, it's where are we going to go eat, right? And they want to try things all across the board. And, of course, there's one restaurant in D.C. called Founding Farmers, which always seems to be very appealing to our members. Great food. But, you know, it's those kind of things where they are all looking for an experience. They all want to go try the food. This is the stuff they're producing, right? And everybody pulls out their app and they're Googling and they're searching and they're reading restaurant reviews and they're looking at food and their friends told them about something. Their friends sent them the picture and they got to go try that place. And that is fascinating to see that. And you're right. I think that's it's exciting. And you see it both in the large cities, but you also see it, I think more and more even in the small towns across Ohio. And I think that's exciting as well.
So in addition to all of this, if you'll pardon the term, organic promotion that restaurants benefit from, anything special going on in the restaurant industry in terms of very specific marketing, things that new thinking in marketing your restaurants?
Yeah, I mentioned to you earlier that I teach down at Ohio State. I teach a MBA marketing, and one of the things that we learn there is you got to take control of your brand, your concept. And so we have a section on our website we've developed with the technology committee. And on that site, we teach people what are the basics you need to do if you have a small business. The large companies can do this. They have staffs and everything. But if you're a small mom and pop, you don't necessarily have a marketing department, you've got to figure out a way to get a great website and get on Yelp and make sure that you're monitoring Facebook and all these things that you have to do today. But that actually gives you some power to talk about your business in a good way.
Yeah, Adam, with some of our members, they just jump into social media with both feet. With others, they want Farm Bureau to do it for them, which we accommodate that desire. But the whole idea of reminding farmers of what John just said, of interacting with your customers, of being an authentic voice, it's something that agriculture is doing okay at, but we could probably do better.
John mentioned their annual event and the energy around that. And it's interesting when last year at our American Farm Bureau national meeting, one of those sessions was that kind of own that social media space, right? Learn to be able to, as a small business or limited resources, to talk about what you're doing and what are those cheap and easy tools that are out there to help you do that. And that session was just packed, as you can imagine. And people want to know, how can I get a little bit better audio quality on that video I'm going to shoot? Or what apps can I use to cut that video with a little bit better? You know, how do I tell my story? So terrific stuff, and definitely a lot of energy in that as well across the farm world as well.
We're chatting about the restaurant industry and the farming industry, and helping to do that, John Barker is the president and chief executive officer of the Ohio Restaurant Association. Adam Sharp is the executive vice president of Ohio Farm Bureau. One of the things that the restaurant industry and the farming industry share is a need to monitor various business climate type issues, what's going on with regulations and tax reform and those kind of things. We're going to find out a little bit about the shared interest between farmers and restaurateurs when we're back with more on Town Hall Ohio. Back on Town Hall, Ohio, John Barker of the Ohio Restaurant Association, Adam Sharp of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. My name's Joe Corneli. Glad to have you with us. And as we wrap up the show, John, I previewed this a bit. Business climate issues. We know how closely farmers pay attention to what's going on in the regulatory arena, the tax arena. As the manager of either a mom-and-pop restaurant or a 50-chain restaurant in Ohio, how much attention does the Restaurant Association have to pay to those issues on behalf of your members?
Joe, first of all, I think these two industries, and I don't see much separation between the two, we have a lot of shared interest. I had mentioned earlier, but my in-laws, my wife's family, runs a family farm in Pennsylvania. So I talk to them a lot about regulations and the things that they face. We have a lot of similarities. In the state of Ohio, we learned yesterday from our Attorney General, Mike DeWine, that this is the third most regulated state in the U.S. And so our members are very focused on this, and they expect us to identify the issues and then work on their behalf to try to protect their businesses so that they can continue to be successful and then employ people, right, to help the economy. But they want to do it safely. I mean, they're not trying to skirt regulations and laws. They just don't want so many regulations that they can't operate their business. And we do face, it seems like, an avalanche of these things.
You never hear that from farmers.
No, that's right. Yeah. And John's referring to the study that just that was just released here recently, and Mr. DeWine spoke about it and several others in the Senate as well. And, you know, it's 100,000 regulations in the state of Ohio that are, that, you know, hey, we need regulation, right? We need good regulation. But there can be that avalanche that absolutely draws back business. When you look at the federal government, you know, about 70,000 new pages in the Federal Register every year of either new regulations or changes to regulation. And that's a very difficult thing for businesses to navigate, especially if they're new businesses and they're trying to grow and develop.
John, how tough is it for your members to find help, whether it's cooks or wait staff or whatever?
Number one issue. Not even close. And we know that from just individual conversations as well as the data we collect on our surveys. And it's the number one issue because it's hard to not only just find people, but find people who will stay. And so that's become, workforce has become probably the number one issue that we are focused on helping them solve, hiring and retaining.
What are a couple of things you're trying to do?
So we're looking at all kinds of very interesting things. First of all, just awareness that there's a place that you can go and have a career. People think, if I go to a restaurant, I'm going to end up being, you know, I don't know, a cook or just a server. That's fine. You can actually, we have servers in the city of Columbus that make close to $100,000 because they get tips and they do fantastic work. I know, Joe, you want to go apply there.
Yeah. Yeah. Catch but, a name from here soon.
Yeah, yeah. But restaurants employ lots of other folks as well. We have marketing people and we have attorneys and, you know, all the business needs that you would have at a restaurant as you begin to kind of grow a little bit. All those are places that you can end up going inside of a restaurant company.
Our industry faces similar challenges. One of the things we're doing through our foundation, Adam, is exposing high school kids and college students to careers in agriculture.
Yeah, and actually across the board. So one of the things that we've heard, you know, pretty loud and clear is we need to help. Right, continue to develop that workforce, and that's across the board. So from farm to table, in the food and agricultural space, lots of job opportunities, and being able to talk to young people about all those opportunities broadly is something that's very important to our foundation, and we've just recently launched several programs to help do that.
That's great. We have a ProStart program with 57 schools across the state. And in those programs, it's a vocational program for people to learn culinary and restaurant management, and we support that. We have a whole group at the Restaurant Association that is working on that to try to get more kids into that so that they can come out and actually be employed immediately into the restaurant industry.
I'm assuming not every restaurant owner in Ohio is a member of your association, so here's a 30-second free commercial. Why should food purveyors be a part of your organization, John?
Well, first of all, like I said, we've been around over 100 years, so people are clearly aware of us, but they may not be aware of what we're doing. We've been through a complete transformation of the Ohio Restaurant Association, shifting from what I refer to as an old line association to a group that's focused on being consultants for our members and helping them solve problems across the whole spectrum, including workforce and every other product and service they need.
We will have you back on sometime if you'll rejoin us.
Absolutely.
John Barker, President and CEO of the Ohio Restaurant Association. Boss, thanks for being here. Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. And always thanks to all of you for tuning us in. And we hope you'll be back next week for more Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall, Ohio.